Good morning. It's been a little bit of a rough week for all of us. Actually, I started preparing this year even before I woke up Tuesday morning, but I felt like now it's even more apropos than ever. So we find ourselves in a time that we're reading Sefer Bereishis. Well, before I even start, I'd like this year to be Le'ilo Nishmas, the Kedoshim that were killed this week, Hashem Yikom Damam, and for Refuah Shleima, for all those who were injured this week as well. We find ourselves in a time when we're reading Sefer Bereishis. And a person can look at this as a collection of stories, obviously very important stories, of historical importance. You know, obviously these people were the founders of our nation, you know, but we can look at it as something that really has happened in the past. But really, Sefer Bereishis is far from a historical book. In fact, you know, the occurrences that happened in Sefer Bereishis are very much current events. In fact, the Ramban in Parakid Beis Pasuk Vav writes, "Omer lecha klal tavino so bechol haparshiot haba'op in Yan Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov." You should know in a very important klal, a rule, a fundamental yisod in these parshios that concern Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. V'hu in Yan Gadol has kiruhu rabosinu b'derech tzara v'amru. Everything that happened to our forefathers is a sign for what will happen to us. And therefore, there is a lot of detail concerning things about the Avot. You know, maybe their travels or even the digging of wells. And you might look at these events and think, they're a collection of stories. What's the purpose? But you should know that every one of these things, all of these details are coming to tell us Al Ha'atid, on the future. So the stories that concern the Avos and Sefer Bereishis are really very much indicative of what will take place in the future. So with that in mind, I wanted to try to understand a little bit about the world around us today. Radical Islam is on the rise. You know, ISIS is making waves in the media and the world, and our brothers and our sisters in Eretz Yisrael are constantly struggling with their Arab neighbors, recently reaching new heights, kidnapping boys, terror tunnels, driving cars into civilians, and massacring people while wrapped in their talis and tefillin in the middle of davening. So I thought we would look back at the psukim in Sefer Bereishis to get a better understanding as to who Yishmael really is. So let's go back to the story in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Perek Tet Zayin Pasuk Aleph, V'sara Eishes Avraham Lo Yadalo V'lashivcha Mitzrit V'shma Hagar V'tamar Sarai El Avraham Hineina Atarani Hashem Miledes Bona El Shivchosi Ulai Ibanami Mena V'yishma Avraham L'kol Sarai. So Sarai, Avraham's wife, she was unable to have children, and she had this Shivcha Mitzris, this maidservant that was from Mitzrayim, and her name was Hagar. And Sarah turns to Abraham and he says, you know, I'm unable to have children, but, you know, maybe you should marry my maidservant, and maybe I will have children through her. And Abraham listened to Sarai. And Abraham married this girl named Hagar. Now, who is Hagar? The Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah tells us, Hagar bito shel paro haisa. V'kevan shara'a paro ma'asim shena'asu l'sara bebeso, natal bito v'natnala. Amar, mutav shetehei biti shivcha b'bayit zeh, v'lo gvira b'bayit acher. So Hagar was actually a princess. She was the daughter of Paro. And when Paro saw all of the miracles that occurred to Sarah in his house, he said, you know, it's better for my daughter to be a maidservant in such a special house than to be the mainstay in another house. And so he gave his daughter to be a maidservant to Sarah. Vayavoel Hagar, the pasuk continues, pasuk Dalid, Vatahar vateraki harasa vatakal gverta beinaha. And Hagar becomes pregnant. She sees that she becomes pregnant. And so what happens? you know, Sarai becomes unimportant in her eyes. Vata'aneh Sarai v'tivrach mepaneha. And Sarai v'ta'aneh will translate as she humbled her, and so therefore Hagar runs away. According to Rav Hirsch, that's what aneh means. It means to cause someone to feel dependence, because this was really the condition on which the fulfillment of Sarah's intention depended, right? What was its whole purpose? That Hagar should remain subservient to her. Hagar must remain Sarah's maidservant, even though she is Avram's wife and the mother of his child. And only thus could the expected child become Sarah's child, meaning being removed from Hagar's influence. Only if Hagar is subservient to Sarah can Sarah really mitigate the influence of Hagar on this child, and she can influence and help create and nurture this child. So Sarah made Hagar constantly aware of this dependent relationship, and Hagar could no longer tolerate being a maidservant, and so she runs away. And a malach finds her, and he says to her, go and return to Sarai, and submit yourself under her hands. And the pasuk in pasuk Yud continues, Vayomer la malach Hashem, harbeh harbeh etzarech v'lo yisaper meirov. He tells her, you're going to have a lot of children. I'll multiply your seed exceedingly so that it will be impossible to count. And then pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer la malach Hashem, hin hara v'yaladet ben v'karata shemo Yishmael, ki shema Hashem et anich. You have conceived and you will bear a son. You shall name him Yishmael, for Hashem has heard your affliction. Pasuk Yibet, v'hu yiyeh pera adam, yado bakol, v'yad kol bo, v'al pnei kol achav yishkon. He will be a free man among men. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. And he will take his place in the face of his brothers. Vateled Hagar la Avraham ben. So Hagar indeed has a child, a son. Vayikra Avraham shem beno asher yalda Hagar Yishmael. And Avraham names this son Yishmael. So it's very interesting if we look at the Pesukim, just to understand them. The Malach tells Hagar that she will have a son and that she should call him Yishmael. And then in the next pasuk we have, who is the one who names Yishmael? Avraham. And there Rashi comments, Afa pi shelo shema Avraham divrei ha-Malach she'amar v'karata shemo Yishmael. Even though Avraham did not hear the words of the Malach that you should call him Yishmael, sharta ruach ha-kodesh alav v'karo Yishmael. Ruach HaKodesh, divine presence, rested upon Avraham, and he named Yishmael that name. So it seems strange almost that Rashi finds it necessary to explain that Avraham knew Yishmael's name through Ruach HaKodesh. It would make the most sense that Hagar, Avraham's wife, told him, you know, there was a malach, and he commanded me to call this child Yishmael. And this is really how the Mefarshei HaPshat explain it. The Radak writes, Afa Pisha Shamalach Amar La Hagar Shehi Tikra Oto Yishmael Amrahi La Avraham Vehi Kara Oto Yishmael VaAvraham Gam Kain Kara Kach Kimosh Amra He Lo B'Shem Hamalach. So that's really what the Radak says. In fact, the Malach told Hagar, Hagar told Avraham, and Avraham called Yishmael this name based on the Tzivoy, the commandment of the Malach. And the Ramban writes something similar. He writes, "V'anachom be'inai ki malach tivel lahagar shetikrena ben, shetikrena kain. V'hi yirab avor heyotah pilegesh the kroshem leven adonal. The galtel lo ha'anyan va'aram kiyem davar Hashem avalo utrach hakatav alrech bazeh." So he says something similar. The malach tells Hagar, you should call the son Yishmael. But she felt, who am I, a Pilegesh, to call my master? I'm the one who's going to give the name. It's inappropriate for me to do so. So therefore, she tells Avraham, and Avraham names Yishmael this name. But really, these details are unnecessary, writes the Ramban. And so the Pesukim don't have to tell us this whole story. But we know that Rashi's style is very much to stick to the Pshat, what we call Pshuto Shamikra. Unless the text calls out for something more, he really basically sticks to the simplest storyline. So then why does Rashi feel it's necessary to bring the Drashos Chazal that Avraham was told this name through Ruach HaKodesh? Furthermore, we know the general principle that Hashem does not generally perform a nes, right? He usually likes to keep everything in a natural order, what we call teva, what we call natural. Like it's written in the Drashos Haran, Chafetz Hashem yiparach v'ritzono l'kayim minhago shel olam b'chol ma de'efshar. V'shehateva yakar be'inav lo yishinahu elo l'chzorach hechrachi. That the teva, the natural order that God created, the system in the world, is very precious to Hashem, and He doesn't like to change it unless there is some extenuating circumstance. So based on this, we wonder, since Hagar was really able to reveal to Avraham the tzivoy of the Malach, why did Avraham need his own special nevuah to tell him the same thing? Wouldn't it be more natural for Hagar just to inform Avraham of this detail? So I think that the answer to this will really give us tremendous insight into who Yishmael is. The Talmud Rebbe quotes the Sfas Emes in Parshas Vayera on the pasuk Vayera Elav Hashem, and he writes, "Ki Avram Avinu haya amud haolam, ve'ad shelo nimol haya kiyum kol haolam al yado ki ita b'meshna shekibel alav schar kulan umin hamila ve'elech haya kol hanaga shelo b'derech hamiuchal lebnei Yisrael." Shehu derech haTorah shelamala hanhagat derech ateva. V'lachin vayera elav hu bepratut yoter she'ein la'achar shaychut bo. So basically, before Avram Avinu got this bris milah, Avram Avinu was basically the representative of the whole entire world. The whole world was able to stand for him. Everything he did had some sort of relationship to the whole world. But after the bris milah, everything he did became directly related to Bnei Yisrael. And so therefore, the Sfas Emes writes in this pasuk, Vayera Elav, it's very specific. It's just to him, because before the Bris Milah, it was related to the whole world. And now, everything Avraham does has an effect on Bnei Yisrael. V'lachin, holad Yishmael kodem hamila. And when was Yishmael born? Yishmael was born before Avram had a bris milah. V'yitachin ki mitzad Yishmael yesh het karvot mikol ha'umot kishim etgairin yecholin liyot am echad. V'gam kodem ha'geirus al karchacha nishmach al yedei b'nei Yisrael kiyum l'kol ha'umot v'tarech liyot memutza b'neihem ke'inyan de'itza b'sfarim b'dalet b'chinot domeim somei achai medaber. Basically, so now we have these two realities. We have the reality before Bris Milah with all the nations, and then we have this reality after where everything's specific to Bnei Yisrael. But we need some sort of bridge. We need some sort of connection. If there's no connection between these two groups, then how could we even have people who are Megayer? How can we have converts from other nations to Bnei Yisrael? There has to be some sort of connection. And that's what Yishmael is. Yishmael is this memutza, this middle ground. Yishmael is this connection between the other nations and Bnei Yisrael, which we'll explain a little bit more. We see this in the Svarim, this concept when it comes to the four Bechinot. We've spoken a little bit in the Shir in the past that in the world there are four categories of objects. We have the Domeim, the Tzomeach, the Chai, and the Medaber. The Domeim is the inanimate object. The Tzomeach is the flowering plant. The Chai is the animal, and the Medaber is the human. So the Sfas Emetz writes, ki yesh bein hadomein v'hatomeach inyan memutza shakolol mishnehem kemahin u'pitriot u'kemo kein bein hatomeach l'chai adnei hasadeh of yadua shegadal ki ilan u'bein chai l'medaber kof v'anir ne'amar ki achar medaber adam sha'al zeh ne'amar adam atem kriyin adam v'lo ha'umos v'yishmael hu ha'memutza. So basically, we have these four categories, but between each of these four categories, there's something that's a mamutza. There's something that's a little bit in between, which we'll explain a little later, that's a little bit part of one category and yet part of another. Like, for example, it says between the domain and the tzomeach, we have the mushrooms. Between the tzomeach and the chai, we have the adnei hasada, which I'll call the carnivorous plants. And between the chai and the medaber, we have the kof, the monkey, which kind of has qualities of both. And so similarly, we have these other categories. We've spoken again in the past of the adam, of the medaber, and then the adam elyon, this higher creation, this Yisrael. And so what is the mamutza? What is the in-between between the two of them? That's Yishmael. And that's why Yishmael is called a para adam. V'lachin yad kobo v'yado bako. Ki al yado yesh hitkashrut bein madrigot medaber mel madrigot ha'adam. That's why it says his hand is in everything. Because on the one hand, he's connected to this group of medaber, of the other nations. But on the other hand, there are some qualities that he has that connects him to the group of Yisrael, and so therefore, Yado Bakol, he has a hand in everything. Yishmael is this pipeline, this connection between Bnei Yisrael and the other nations. There are four categories of things, like we said, all these objects in the world, and each one has some sort of in-between form. And Yishmael is this in-between, between the Medaber, between the simple man, and the Adam Elyon, this higher man, namely the Yisrael. Like we said, the mamutza has certain qualities of each category, like mushrooms, for example. They're in between the domain and the tzomeach. On the one hand, mushrooms grow and they get bigger every day. But so they have some sort of qualities of a tzomeach, of a flowering plant. And yet they're not quite like a tzomeach in that what? They don't develop in the same way. They don't have roots. In fact, we even know what bracha do we make on a mushroom? Shahako. We don't make a hadama like we do on other plants because they don't receive the nourishment in the same way as a regular plant, as a tzomeach. More like a domain, an inanimate object. Similarly, we have the adnei hasadeh, which Rav Avadia Bar Nur explains in his parish on the Mishnah in Kalayim, that it's an animal that grows in the field. It grabs and it rips apart any creature that comes close to it. A carnivorous plant. On the one hand, it's a plant. It grows in the ground. And yet, it has some sort of aspects of an animal that it eats and it drinks and it grabs things. Similarly, a monkey is the mamutza between the chai, the animal, and the medaber, the human. We know this, you know, even in terms of evolution, but it has some sort of similarities to man. And yet, on the other hand, it is an animal. And on top of these categories, we have the highest category, which is the Yisrael. And the Sfas Emes is Mechadesh, that there's this middle category in this area as well. And this is Yishmael. On the one hand, Yishmael has certain qualities of the general population. He also possesses certain mila, certain character traits of Bnei Yisrael, which come to him through his father, through Avram Avinu. And it's based on this we can understand what the Malach said to Hagar. Vayomer la Malach, Hashem, hin chahara, v'yaladata ben, v'karata shemo Yishmael, v'hu yiyeh para adam. The Malach tells Hagar, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call him Yishmael, and he's going to be a para adam. He's the mamutza. He's this middle. He's, on one hand, partially para, and on the one hand, he's like an adam, an adama le'elyon, that I will make myself similar to God. Some of these qualities that are from Bnei Yisrael. As the Sforno explains, Yishmael is the possessor of a double heritage. He has this side of him from Hagar, and this other side of him that he gets from Abraham. He writes, Perahu chamor habor, amar sheyeh chamor b'mezgo mitzad ha'em ha'mitrit, v'sheyeh chamor habar b'yoto shechein b'midbar. So from Hagar's side, he's this chamor habor. He's a wild donkey with a passion for independence and freedom. But from the other side, from the side of Avram Avinu, from the side of his father, he's going to be an Adam. He's going to have aspiration towards higher things, towards human perfections. We say an Adam either comes from the word Adama, ground, lowly things, but Adam also has this character, this quality of Adama Le'elyon. I can make myself godly. And so Yishmael gets this aspect of being driven towards perfection from his father. In fact, the Gemara in Baba Basra tells us that in the end of his life, Yishmael actually did tshuva because he did have some of these qualities that he inherited from Avram Avinu. So Yishmael is this mixture of two aspects. He has a part of him that's a para, a wild donkey in the desert, representing the Adam HaTachton, the lowly man. But he has this other aspect of Adam, the Adam Ha'elyon, the Adam Ha'elyon, human perfection, which pushes him to actually do tshuva. And according to Rav Hirsch, Yishmael inherited qualities from his great-grandfather Cham, the cursed son of Noach. He inherited Chom, which is what? Burning sensuality, which harnesses mind and emotion to its chariot. He expresses his godliness in the subjugation of man. Additionally, he inherits Hagar's thirst for freedom, and thus he cannot tolerate the constraints of the city. Additionally, though, he inherits Abraham's sanctification of the intellect, the concept of the one united God. Rav Hirsch notes, however, that at the age of 17, Yishmael was removed from Avram's influence, and that the maternal, the Chamite strain in his character became even more dominant, through not only the influence of his mother, but the influence of the Chamite woman who actually became his wife, and actually the first matriarch of the Arab nation. So it's based on this that we can better understand the description of Pera Adam. Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin notes that normally in Hebrew, we write the noun before the verb, right? We say, Adam Chacham, a smart man. We say, Adam Ashir, a rich man. And yet here, what do we say? Pera Adam. We would think that you should say, Adam Pera. Because he explains that really this is Yishmael's essence, is to be a Pera. The Adam will be subservient to the Pera in him. Pera is not an adjective like Chacham or Ashir, but rather it's the essence. It's almost like the noun, because that really is what takes the power in who Yishmael is. And along the same lines, Rav Shmaya Elazar Dekovsky in a Sefer Noz Desha quotes the Chafetz Chaim, and he writes, he quotes the Chafetz Chaim and he writes the following: Hine haTorah haKdosha omeres al Yishmael v'hu yiyah pera adam. Halo yadua ki haTorah hi nitzchit. V'im hi omeres al Yishmael v'hu yiyah pera adam. Harei ma'ashma uto sheYishmael yishar pera yishmar lenetach pera adam. The Chafetz Chaim writes that the Torah is nitzchis, the Torah is eternal. And if the Torah tells us that Yishmael is a para adam, that he is para adam, he will be a para adam, it means that this is his quality forever. Va'afilu yitasfu kol amei ha-tarbut sheba'olam v'yirtu l'chanecha Yishmael v'la'asoto ben tarbut. Even if all the most cultured nations in the world come and they want to teach Yishmael about culture, Shelo yet para adam, that he should not be this wild donkey, this para adam. Halo vaza ilo yachlu b'shim ofen. They will not be able to in any possibility, shape, or form. Velo yale klal bi adam, kilo ben tarbudhu. They won't be successful because Yishmael is not a cultured man. The Torah is telling us that he is and he will be a para adam forever. Even if he goes to school and he becomes a lawyer, he'll be a lawyer para adam. Even if he goes to school and he becomes a professor, he'll be a professor para adam. Meaning the para in him will never leave. And this is how the Chafetz Chaim ends. Ay mi odea ma para adam hazeh ilu laso la'am Yisrael ba'acharis hayamim. He says, ay vey, who knows what this para adam may do to Bnei Yisrael in the end of the days. So Yishmael is this mix of Avraham and Hagar. But as we have seen, the influence of Hagar was stronger, and the para came and comes before the Adam. In fact, all of us have two forces inside of us. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us in Tet Zayin Amar Aleph, Shisha Dvarim Ne'amru B'Bnei Adam, Shlosha K'malachei Ashares, Shlosha K'Behema. So basically, there's three aspects, there's three things written about man, six qualities. Three are qualities of malachim, and three are qualities of animals. Shlosha k'malachei hasharet, yesh lahem das k'malachei hasharet, u'malachim b'kom ha'zgufa k'malachei hasharet, u'misaprim b'lashon ha'kodesh k'malachei hasharet. So there's three things. They have das, they have intellect, they walk straight upwards like a malach, and they also are able to talk in Lashon HaKodesh, like Malachim. Shlosha kebehema, ochlim v'shotim kebehema, uparin uvaribim kebehema, umotzin re'eh kebehema. And what are the three aspects of man that are like animals? The fact that he eats and drinks, the fact that he goes to the bathroom, and the fact that he multiplies like an animal. Every person obviously must work to ensure that the three qualities that rule him, that are his mainstay, are those of the Malachim and not of the behema. So much so that when we work on it, the animalistic qualities within us are transformed to be those of Malachim. They're channeled L'Shem Shamayim. And this is really the job of an Ish Yisrael. On the other hand, many of the other nations allow their animal qualities to rule, and eventually, even their qualities which are malach-like, which are make them comparable to malachim, are transformed into qualities that represent the behemah, the animal. The same is true with Yishmael. He can allow the qualities of the malach to overcome those of the behemah and reach a higher place than the other nations because he has this aspect of Bnei Yisrael in him, which he inherited from Abraham. But he also has the other very lowly aspect of him, to the point that Chazal say in the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah, Yado bakol v'yad kolbo, on the pasuk that we said, his hand is in everything, kri bo kalbo. You should read it, not yad kolbo, but bo kalbo, hu v'hakelev shavim. That he is like a dog. Him and the dog are equal, are similar. And thus, Yishmael can sink to the point, to the lowest point, that he and the dog become equal. And it's precisely because of Yishmael's place as a mamutza, this in-between, this mixture of Medaber and Yisrael, that he needed both Avraham and Hagar to name him. Each person who named him imparted upon him their unique qualities. He received from Hagar the aspect of Adam HaMedaber, and from Avraham he received the aspect of Adam Elyon, this higher man. It is based on this idea that we can understand the harshness of Galus Yishmael. Rav Chaim Vital, in his Sefer, Eitz Hadas Tov, explains the following Perek in Tehillim. He writes, the Perek in Tehillim, Perek, Kapitel, Kuf Chap Dalid, Shir HaMa'alos, Lulei Hashem Shayalanu, Yomar Na Yisrael, Bekum Aleinu Adam. Had it not been for Hashem, who was for us when men rose against us. So we know that there are four major Golios. We say Arba Golios. We have Bavel, Paras Umadai, Yavan and Edom. Aval od atidin Yisrael liot ba'achris hayamim ba'galus Yishmael. But there's another, a fifth exile in the end of days, the galus of Yishmael. Amar ki Yishmael lioto ben Abraham v'nibol nikra para Adam. V'lo Adam gamur b'pnei Shemal v'lo para. Aval sha'ar dal ha'galiot hein mashulot el ha'chayot k'nizkar b'sefer Daniel. He says, what's interesting is that all the other exiles, we know in Sefer Daniel, they're compared to animals. But the gullus of Yishmael is compared to an Adam. Because Yishmael is this para-Adam. He has this aspect, like we said, of Adam that he inherited from Abraham, from this the fact that he has a bris milah. And therefore, the Perek in Tehillim starts, Shir ha-malos l'david, ulei ha-Hashem shayalanu, no yomar na Yisrael, right? He says, had it not been for Hashem who was with us, you know, who was there for us. And then it continues. It almost seems repetitive. Lulei Hashem shayalanu bekum aleinu adam. Right? Because this is not, it's not actually a repetition, but rather it's representing a different galus, and it's in fact categorized differently. Because the fifth exile is going to be different than the previous four. The previous four, which were represented by the animals, this one is called Adam. He has certain influences and certain merits from Avraham. He not only has the zchus avos, like Avraham who davened for him, he said, Lu Yishmael yechiyeh lefanecha, but he also has the zchus, the merit of the bris milah. And therefore, the galus of Yishmael is harsher. It's in a category onto itself. The galus Yishmael is also different than the previous four exiles, in that the nations ruled over other nations, right? Whether it was Bavel, Paras Umadai, Yavan, or Edom, they all were empires. They were world powers. They had power over other nations. But the Galus of Yishmael is completely different than those exiles. Why? The Arabs live in tents in the desert, and they're mostly involved with themselves. Additionally, they don't battle in the normal way that other nations who try to conquer the world battle. Ella nimshalim lilistim hayotim umakifim bnei Adam. V'chozrin la'olehem v'chorehem. Kimo shekatov v'hu yeh para adam yado bakol. But rather, they don't fight in the same normal way that other nations fight, that they go to battle. They're compared to robbers, that they go out, and they take, they hit, they hurt, etc. And then what? They run back to their tents and to their holes. Interesting book was written so many years ago. It is during this time that the lowly nation of Yishmael gains status and stature. Then continues the pasuk in Tehillim, Azai chayim b'la'unu b'charut apem banu. Then they would have swallowed us alive when the wrath glowed against us. The Arab nation, Yishmael, their hatred is intense. And what is their goal? To swallow us up and obliterate us. Like it says actually in Hamas's charter, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Yishmael will use non-conventional methods to try to obliterate us. Those of Yado Bakol, like robbers who come and they take and they hurt and then they run back and hide in their tents and their holes. As he takes his place in the face of his brothers, like the pasuk states, the Al Pnei Kol Achav Yishkon, which Rav Hirsch explains to mean, in spite of all his brothers, he will take his rightful place. He will have no friends, but no one will dare to oppose him. The Rambam, in the end of the Igros Teiman, he writes concerning Yishmael, V'lo amda al Yisrael klal uma toreres yoter mimena. V'lo haya mi sheflig b'achnas. There is no other nation that has as intense hatred for us as Yishmael, that tries to hurt us and torture us and destroy us like Yishmael. But what is the reason for this intense hatred? We find that a lot of the hatred revolves around the fact that we live in Eretz Yisrael. That they say, oh, it's our land, they stole it from us, Eretz Yisrael is really theirs, and we have no right to it, they need to take it back, we're occupying them, etc., etc. And it's interesting to note that the Bnei Esav never have such a complaint, right? They never say, oh, Eretz Yisrael is ours, and we need it back, and you took it from us. We find this complaint only from the Bnei Yishmael. The Ol Moshe quotes Rav Huttner in his Sefer Pacha Yitzchak, and he explains, V'hine, zehu ha-hevdel bin Yishmael ve'esav. This is the difference between Esav and Yishmael. Esav hu yoresh mamash. Ve'etein la'esav et har se'ir la'reshet oto. Yerusha la'esav natati et har Esav. Right? Esav gets an actual inheritance. He is an heir. Like the pasuk says, what? He gets har se'ir. He has a nachala. He has a place. He gets an inheritance. V'ilu al Yishmael ha-hefech. But Yishmael, the opposite. What does the pasuk say? Garash ha'ama hazos ve'espana ki lo yirash ben ha'ama hazos. Kick out this maidservant and her son. Why? Because these people will not inherit. V'esav b'tor yoresh mekabel koch yirusha. B'midza misuyamet me'ha'avot. Mi sheyesh lo ozen koshevet litzlileh ha-mikra. Ubachin vazeh et chodo shel ha'hevdel bein ha'nemar b'cheshbon yichuso alufei Esav eila alufei Edom l'mishvatam be'eretz achuzatam ubein ha'nemar b'nisei Yishmael eila shmotam b'chatzereham u'b'tirasam. Right? Esav actually gets an inheritance, and you can actually, if you read the psukim with a critical ear, you see this in the pasuk. What is it when it's describing Esav? It says these are those of Esav that in his land, the Eretz Achuzatam. Esav has a place. Esav has a land. But when it comes to describing the names and some of the descendants of Yishmael, what does it say? B'chatzereihem u'b'tirasam. They're in the chatzer, in the courtyard, in the strongholds. They don't have a place. Esav unach zihui shel yichud mekom hu b'chatzereihem b'kesher l'nisiyei Yishmael. Ela Shehem Heim Hadvarin. Esav hu Yoresh, Vieshlov Mosham Mishalo, Umakom Mishalo. Vielu Yishmael, Eno Yoresh, Veino Makom Mishalo. Esav has a place, and Yishmael is not a Yoresh. He has no place of his own. Vilazene Amar, Bechatereyam Bibtirasam. Sheninam hu Araut, Leumat Yishuv Nachala. Their place is temporary, as opposed to a Yishuv, a settlement, or a nachala, an inheritance. V'ilu Esav hu yoresh la'atmo, v'kibel yerusha, ein lavo v'litzon l'chalik. Right? Esav has a nachala, so why would he come and make a big deal about it? Why would he come and say anything about it? Aval Yishmael ba mikol melo kenato v'kaso al Eretz Yisrael. Shelihu! But Yishmael has no place, so he didn't get an inheritance. He's angry, he's mad, so he comes forward with this full force of anger and hatred, and he says, Eretz Yisrael, it's mine. V'hi chema shel mi she'ein lo yerusha. Shehufkam yerusha. This is the anger. This is the hatred of a person who doesn't have a yerusha, who was cut out of an inheritance. And so he comes and steps forward to take the inheritance from his relatives, the relatives who took the inheritance from him, who cut him out of the Yerusha. And this is the yesod, this is the foundation of the killing and the hatred that we see in our times. It's all based on the nachala, the lack of inheritance of Yishmael. And it's actually based on this idea that Rav Hutner explains in another Maimar, he explains another difference between the Christians and the Muslims. We know that the Christians accept Torah Shebichtav, whereas the Muslims do not. Esav claims the Torah is his, right? He is Yisrael. Because at the root of it, what? Esav is a Yoresh. He's an inheritor. He only denies the Torah Shebaal Peh, because it's in Torah Shebaal Peh where he is excluded. The pasuk states, "Yitzchak yikare lecha zera." Yitzchak should be your zera, should be your inheritor. And the Gemara in Nedarim writes, "Yitzchak velo kol Yitzchak." Yes, Yitzchak gets the inheritance, but not kol Yitzchak. There's a piece that's cut out, namely Esav. Therefore, Esav only denies Torah Shebaal Peh because, according to Torah Shebichtav, he gets his inheritance. He's part of it. But Yishmael never connected himself to Torah Shebichtav, because in Torah Shebichtav it says ki lo yirash, that he's not going to inherit. He's going to be kicked out. Furthermore, Yishmael believes that only he is the Zera of Avraham. Hagar is the only one who actually bore a child to Avraham. As the Sforno in Parshas Vayera writes, Shechashva shemi avimelech nitabrasara, v'kach masra li Yishmael bina. Hagar believed that where did Sarah become pregnant from? From Avimelech. And not from Avraham. And this is the Mesorah. This is the tradition that she gave over to her son Yishmael. So not only did we take his inheritance, but according to Yishmael, our lineage is questionable to begin with. And it's precisely Yishmael's connection with Avraham that makes this galus that much more difficult. Yishmael is not just one of the other nations, but he shares certain commonalities with Bnei Yisrael. Certain kochos given to him through Avraham, naming him. In fact, only the nations of Yisrael and Yishmael have Hashem's name contained within their name. Right? Yishmael, Yisrael. But what's the difference? The difference is where the emphasis is. Where is the tzeire? If you note, there's 48 places in Tanakh where the name Yishmael is written. In every place, where is the tzere, the A, the emphasis? It's not under the Aleph. It's under the Ayin. Meaning the sound that makes the name El is not the name of God. It's the Ayin from his name. Whereas where is the conjugation with Bnei Yisrael? It's under the Aleph, which allows Hashem's name to be heard. Yishmael puts himself off to be a messenger of God. He thinks he has God's approval, but in reality, he is using the name of God to promote his chum interests, those of sensuality and desire. He has the Mesiras Nefesh stemming from the Bris Milah, but he uses it towards misguided goals. Though Yishmael will use his misguided ale to destroy us, we can overcome him by using our ale, our godliness, the Torah and the mitzvot, to guide our lives and our actions. As the pasuk in Yeshayahu states, Parakhet pasuk Yud, Utu etu visufar, davru davar vilo yakam, ki Immanuel. Plan a conspiracy, and it shall be annulled. Speak your peace, and it shall not stand. Ki Immanuel, because God is with us. The real El, the real representation of Hashem in this world, the following of the Torah and mitzvot, that's only found within Bnei Yisrael. But it's not only using the ale to guide us, to lead our lives based on Torah and mitzvot and godliness, but it's turning to the ale, turning to Hashem, davening and placing our faith in Him, knowing that He really is the only one who can save us. And this is actually hinted at in the name of Yishmael. We know in the psukim that we read, Hashem, the Malach tells Hagar that he should name him Yishmael because Hashem heard you. But if that's the case, then the name should really be Shamael in the past, right? Hashem heard you, Hagar. But it's Yishmael. Hashem will hear. And the Pirkei Zohar by Eliezer writes, V'lama nikra shmo Yishmael? Why is it called Yishmael? Like in the future? She'atir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishmoa b'kol na'akas ha'am imasha atidin b'nei Yishmael asot. Lefikach nikra shmo Yishmael she'ne'emar Yishmael v'ya'anein. Why is it called Yishmael in the future? Because in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hear the cries, he's going to hear the pain, he's going to hear the tefillos of Bnei Yisrael that are crying out because of what Yishmael is doing to them. And what? He's going to answer them. Like the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Yishmael, Hashem will hear the Ya'anim, and he will answer. He is called Yishmael, why? Because he's going to arouse us to daven. He's going to push us to a point that we're going to look around the world and see, what kind of craziness is this? There's no one else for us to turn to except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a girl on a campus waving a flag of ISIS. No one says anything. Heaven, she waves the flag of Israel. Everyone goes crazy. Everyone's looking to run and condemn Israel. Israel, Israel. Where's the sanity in the world? We think the world has gone insane. But that's precisely it. Because Yishmael is going to push us to daven, and it's the nation of Yishmael is going to show us that there's no one else in the world we can turn to. No other nation, no United Nations, no other group of people, except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we daven to Him from all the tzaros that Yishmael is giving to us, Yishma Hashem v'yanein. Hashem will hear, and He will answer. I'd like to end with a tefillah that we say in Slichos on Erev Yom Kippur. Yihi ratzon lefanecha, mi your will Hashem, shomea kol b'chiyot, the one who hears the crying, shetasim d'moseinu b'not chaliyos, that you should gather all our tears and put them in a flask, v'tatzilenu mikol gzeirot achzariyot, and you should save us from all the cruel decrees, ki lecha levad einenu, because you're the only one we can turn to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu.